Thank you for that special day. Music and worship, song and message visually, corporately, and divine. If I shared with you something that could literally change your life and say, here it is, energy. If I shared with you something that's been proven over 6,000 years, be connected in so much that a man can enter into the presence of God and God speak, would you be interested? Sometimes in the course of reading the Bible, we hear things, and because they're not a part of our culture, comfort level, practice, we tend to say, I know it's true. I know it's true. It's in the Bible. There's no question about that. But I haven't experienced it. I haven't experienced it to the point of saying that I know it's true for me. Today we're going to look at a topic. Remember the Lord Jesus on the Sermon on the Mount. When he began to speak, he began to touch right at the heart of where people were. When he began to speak, he started right where man was. Man was lost. So that's where he started. And he started to build. He said, blessed are the poor in spirit. And then he says, blessed are, once you realize you're bankrupt spiritually, then all of a sudden you mourn over that. And then all of a sudden you come into a relationship with Jesus Christ and you have peace. And then when you come in that relationship with Jesus Christ and you have peace, then all of a sudden you begin to show mercy. And when you begin to show mercy, all of a sudden you begin to seek to be a peacemaker. And then when you begin to be a peacemaker, all of a sudden you realize that everything that's out in the world is not desiring peace. And so therefore there is a backlash, there's tribulation, there's even persecution. Well, as this begins to develop, Jesus started with you as a lost person, but now you're a saved person. Now you're walking with Him. And then He gives you the reality of something. He tells you the quality that you are made up of. He says, you are salt. You are light. When light comes into darkness, darkness has to flee. When salt comes into the presence of that which is impure, then it's got to be pure because salt has a purifying element to it. Now, when all of a sudden, inside of our Christian life, we realize that we are somebody extremely special, then the Lord Jesus begins to back off and say, now look guys, here are some of the building blocks. Here are some of the protein where I want you to understand. And he said, you've heard a lot about murder, but do you know what the bottom line of murder is? It's anger. You've heard a lot about adultery, but do you know what the bottom line is? The bottom line is lust. You've heard a lot about retaliation and eye for eye and tooth for tooth, but the bottom line here is we need to go the second mile. You've heard a lot about people saying, I swear, and thinking that they're going to get some type of power and authority from an outside source because they named the name of God. But he said, look, in your conversation, let your conversation be yes, and let your conversation be no. Anything else more than that is sin. And he started developing the believers in so much that says, look, don't settle for less. Set your charts high. Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect. And we recognize we're not perfect in this day, but we've got a goal set there. And just because we may never achieve perfection in this world and in this life, that does not mean that we change the goal. The goal is to be like the Lord Jesus. Now, after the Lord Jesus did that, he turned around and said, now let's talk about what's going on in your world today. Let's take five areas, Jesus says, in essence. And I want you to see, I want to take the current events of where you are spiritually. The current events that people talk about and they look and they recognize is that of alms, and then prayer, and then fasting, and then treasures, and then the future. These are the five areas in which the Lord Jesus now begins to say, I want you to see this. Because we found that the secret of alms was a heart of mercy. And we found the secret of prayer was forgiveness. And now we're going to look at something called fasting. And the secret of fasting is sincere seeking. That's what it is. It's sincere seeking of the Father. Now, let's look at some of these things as they begin to develop. And we're going to be looking in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 16. Let's go ahead and turn there and let's read our text, because I want you to know that it was right there on the Sermon on the Mount in which the Lord Jesus was preaching. He was teaching believers and non-believers. He was teaching the crowds. And this was a current event that was going on in their life. Matthew 16, 16. Moreover, when ye fast, be not as the hypocrites of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou fastest, anoint thine head and wash thy face, that thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto the Father which is in secret. And the Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Fasting, an amazing spiritual discipline that we know so little about, and yet there's so much written about it. Well, let me give you, for instance, let's go back to the history. Aaron, let me carry you back to a time and space in which David had committed adultery, and out of that adultery, a baby was born. Now the Lord said, David, this baby's going to die as a result of your sin. And David says, No, Lord, don't let this baby die. The baby is around a year old now. The baby was severely sick. And for 7 days, David, King David, lay on the floor fasting and praying. So all of a sudden, the Word of God was complete. The baby died. And as soon as the baby died, David got up and he washed himself, he washed his face, and he went and ate. And they said, David, what is this? And David said, why should I not? Because you see, as long as the baby was alive, then I could seek the Father's face, and it could very well be that the Father would give grace for the life of his child. God chose my family. What's the point? David had a personal crisis in fasting. You see, you may have a personal crisis. And by the way, any time that we start talking about fasting, it is not the spiritual exercise. It is the combination of the spiritual exercise along with prayer. Always, two sides of the same coin. You will see on one side prayer, and on the other side you will see fasting. They are all both on the same coin. And so therefore, we can see, now you can have prayer without fasting. But when you have fasting and prayer, they are both in combination. Hey, look, people try to use on a national scale. Jezebel called for a national fast of the country. And on that national fast of the country, all of a sudden, Jezebel comes in and has these thieves, these robbers, speak evil words about Naaman. Naaman was killed as a result of these liars on a day of a religious fast. What my point is this. There are national fasts in which the whole country needs to come together and spend that time focused on the Lord Jesus and not let it be abused. Second Chronicles, in time of war, King Jehoshaphat called for the nation. There were four kings that are about to destroy them. And in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 4, and Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord, even in all the cities of Judah. Ask help. Listen, folks. When we went to Iraq, what did our country do? Our country began to pray, but did we fast? Ezra, returning from Babylon. Ezra chapter 8, verse 21. The Bible says, then I proclaimed a fast there at the river Havana, that it might be afflict ourselves before God to seek Him of a right way for us and for our little ones and for all substance. So we fasted and besought the Lord. In other words, in the course of praying and fasting, Ezra, these guys who had been in captivity, said, Lord, we need safety, we need direction, and we need food. We need supplies. guess the one that was kind of thinking that hit my mind today is that in the last couple of weeks, I had an individual that came for asking the direction in life. What should they do about a given position, a given job, a given area? And they were seeking counsel, and that was good. But you know, when you have something that you sincerely want to know, you sincerely want to hear from God, He gives us a plan here. That plan is even as Ezra, and they called the people to fast. If there was a specific action, Esther, there was fixing to be genocide of the whole nation of Israel. And Esther comes along and says, look, you go to the Jews, you go to my people, and you tell them to pray and fast for 3 days, no food, no drink, for 3 days, and me and my handmaidens, we will do the same thing, and then I will go into the presence of the king, which was against the law. And if the king did not raise his staff, Esther would have been killed. It was a secret request. God honored the king, raised his staff, and Esther was able to deliver her message. What is the point? The point is, when we need safety and supplies, the point is when we need specific actions. The point is when we need favor from God. The point is when there's drought and when there's famine. The point is when a nation is facing destruction. For instance, Jonah was told to go to the land of Nineveh, a heathen nation. Go to the land of Nineveh and proclaim to them that in 40 days, Nineveh will be destroyed. Jonah rebelled. We know the fish story. But the bottom line is he went, he proclaimed the message, and when this heathen nation heard the word, they were pricked at their heart, they repented, they prayed, they humbled themselves, and they fasted before the Lord, and God spared them. So you see, in a nation, even in a godless nation, can repent and come to the Lord Jesus. Prayer and fasting, they come together. There's a national fast, but in a schedule for fast of Israel. But is all fasting rewarded? The answer is no. All fasting is not rewarded. Because God looks upon the heart. God looks upon the life. God looks upon how you're living. So it's more than just saying, I'm going now to the Father and I'm going to talk to Him. God says, how are you living for me today? That's important. So there needs to be lifestyle, along with self-discipline and seeking the Father's faith to experience a word from the Lord. Now, let's talk about just for a moment who was practicing fasting in the days of Jesus. Luke 18:10, the Bible teaches us there were the Pharisees. In fact, there was a Pharisee self-seeking. Now, some of us can go out and say, man, yeah, I fast all the time. Boy, you ought to, man, it's great. It's really good. You ought to do it too, man. Well, this Pharisee went outside and went to a corner and he got on the street corner and he said, I thank you, God. Oh, I'm so righteous and good and I fast twice a week. I thank you, God, I'm not like that old publican down there and those old sinners. I thank you, God, I'm not like them. So, oh, God, just hear my prayer. And then at the other end of the street, there was this publican. There was this sinner who wouldn't even lift his head up and started beating his chest and saying, oh God, be merciful to me. The Lord Jesus said, that publican went home satisfied. That Pharisee got what he wanted, and that was people's attention. That man who humbled himself, he heard from the Lord. He felt the presence of God. There are those who are sincere seekers. Who was fasting in the day? John the Baptist. John the Baptist was, and John the Baptist taught his disciples to fast. John the Baptist, the greatest man that ever lived. Of course, for the Lord Jesus. That's what Jesus said about him. And so therefore, those who are self-seeking, those who are sincere seeking, and then there were those who were special anointing. In Acts 13:1, the Bible teaches, in Acts 13:2, it says, and they ministered unto the Lord and fasted. And the Holy Spirit said, "Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work unto I have called them." And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. What is that? A special anointing. And then, think about this. Jesus fasted. For 40 days he fasted out in the wilderness in preparation for spiritual warfare when he took the devil head on. It was Jesus. So therefore, if Jesus there is our model, and he is, how are we to respond in seeking the face of the Father? So what then is the meaning of fasting? The meaning of fasting, simply put, fasting means going without food. Did anybody have breakfast this morning? He missed it. Yeah, thank you, buddy. I did too, boy. It was good. I had eggs. Man, those eggs were good, and I had a big old cat head biscuit. I put some syrup on that. That's beside the point. Okay, but breakfast was great, man, this morning. And you know what breakfast is? Two words. It's made up of break, fast. You see, you're fasting during the night, not eating. And then you break that fast and you eat. That's called breakfast. Now, what's spiritual fasting? Spiritual fasting is this. It is going without food or food and water for a specific spiritual reason. That's what it is. Going without food or going without water for a specific spiritual reason. So biblical fasting means stop eating for the purpose of seeking God in His help. Luke 5:33. They said, "Why do the disciples of John fast often and make prayers, and likewise the disciples of the Pharisees, but thine eat and drink?" In other words, Jesus, why are your disciples eating and drinking when they ought to be fasting? Hey, look, what was the purpose of prayer and fasting? The purpose of prayer and fasting is to get into the presence of the Father and to get help. Who was the Father? Who was Jesus? Jesus was God. Jesus is God. And so therefore, the disciples of Jesus were right there. They didn't have to fast to get into the presence. They were in the presence, but there was a day to come in which the Lord Jesus died on the cross, buried in the grave, rose from the grave on the third day, and ascended into heaven. And then, when Jesus was ascended into heaven, then it would be time for the disciples of Christ to have prayer and fasting. So, therefore, there are several different types of methods of fasting. As we begin to think about it, that fasting is a time of not eating or drinking anything. And we find that it can occur in times of 1 to 40 days. That's what is recorded. Between 1 day fast or 40 days, between 1 and 40 days. And that is the limit, that is the period of time in which we recognize this. Now the motive for fasting is spiritual discipline with a purpose of asking God for help. And you know how big this is. The only time that the Bible speaks about a man and a woman in marriage, a husband and wife, not coming together in a sexual union, the only time that it says not to do that is in the case where there is praying and fasting going on during that period of time. The Lord Jesus taught it and elevated it in so much that prayer and fasting is so special that everything else, let it be set to the side so that we may focus and experience the Lord, the Father. So fasting now is to be normal for those who seek the Father. And fasting is to be connecting with worship. Nehemiah, let me give you a picture. Nehemiah 1, chapter 9, verse 1 through 3. The Bible says, "Now in the 24th day of the month, the children of Israel were assembled with fasting and with sackcloth and earth upon them. And the seed of Israel separated himself from all strangers and stood and confessed their sins and the iniquities of their fathers. And they stood in the place and read in the book of the law of the Lord, their God, one fourth of the day, and another fourth part they confessed and worshiped the Lord their God." What was that? Coming together in worship, in connecting, prayer and fasting, combined with godly living, reaps great spiritual rewards. But a man who is dishonest with God, fasting does him no good. A man who is dishonest with life, fasting does him no good. A man who harbors sin may not connect. A man who approaches prayer and fasting half-hearted may not connect. But a person who sets his heart and his mind and his focus, and he surrenders his idols, he surrenders his life, he surrenders his all to the Lord Jesus Christ, that man is going to connect. That man is going to reap rewards from the Father. Now, what are some of the rewards? Let me just list a few of them to you. One is breaking down strongholds. Listen, is there anything in your life that has you gripped and you want that broken? You want, hey, if you're smoking and you want smoking broke, look, if you pray and you fast, God, the Father, can help you. If you're on drugs, if you're connected, you're on alcohol, you're abusive there, it doesn't matter what the category is. The point is this, that when we pray and we fast, we can connect to the Father and He can loose our burdens. Isaiah 58 verse 6. Is not this the feast that I have chosen? To loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, and to let the oppressed go free, and that ye break every yoke? Look, folks, God wants freedom. And so therefore, here it is. Here's the answer. It's at your fingertips. Number two, it's preparing for spiritual warfare. Jesus, Matthew 4, 2, He fasted 40 days and 40 nights before He ever faced the devil. And so we see that, are you having problems with demonic oppression? Are you having problems with demonic obsession? Are you having spiritual warfare going on in your life that you don't know where it's coming from? Here's an answer. What about finding the leadership of the Holy Spirit? Acts 13, 2. They prayed and they fasted. A man wants to know, am I to go to this church or not? A man can pray and he can fast and God will speak. A man wants to know whether this job is the right job. A man can pray, a man can fast, and God will speak. The Bible gives us assurance that out of prayer and fasting, spiritual discipline, that God will deliver. Casting out demonic spirits. Matthew chapter 17. Jesus spoke of a man. In fact, Jesus had just come down off of the Mount of Transfiguration. They had this marvelous time with the glorification of the Transfigure when Jesus became just as white as snow. When He came down on the mountain, there were His disciples disputing with a man. There was a man who was demon-possessed, a man who needed healing, a man who needed deliverance, and they couldn't do nothing about it. Even though they walked with the Lord Jesus and talked with the Lord Jesus. And Jesus said, oh, you of little faith. But then they said, Lord, why could not we cast this demon out? The Lord Jesus said these words, this kind cometh not out, but by prayer and fasting. You see, that's what God says. Look, this one's not going to leave in any other reason. And then He says, I've got a key for you. You want to listen? Listen for God to speak. Go with Moses up on the mountain in Exodus 24:8. Go with Barnabas and Saul in Acts 13 as they prayed and fasted and God anointed them and sent them out. Do you need guidance and safety and supplies? Do you need food? Do you need shelter? Ezra 8:21. Does our nation need to be protected? On its borders, inside of its borders, and outside of its borders. 2 Chronicles 20, verses 1 through 4. Solutions to personal and national problems. 2 Samuel 12, 22. And favor with God. Isaiah 58, 29. Hey, here's the answer. It's not hidden. It's not mysterious. It's been around now for about 6,000 years. And yet it requires us a lifestyle, a surrender, obedience. Now, how do you fast? And that's where our line picks up today. When we think about the manner, and the Lord Jesus gave us in chapter 6, He gave us two. First of all, He gave us a poor example. And this poor example comes from a hypocrite. a hypocrite. You know, a hypocrite is a guy that wears a mask and stands out on the corner and says, "Hey, everybody, look at me. I'm fasting." And what does he do? He lets his hair kind of mat up. He doesn't wash his hair. Look at his face. I mean, he's eating a prune. He's so spiritual. You know, inside, I know some of your stomach right now going, "Rrr." I mean, but this guy let that "rrr" go on his face. And he wanted everybody to know that, "Hey, look, I'm hungry. I'm fasting." Everybody look at him. He wore his long robe. Jesus said, "This guy, he got what he wanted." That's a poor example. Well, now, what's the proper example? What's the pure? What's a good third example? Verse 17. "But thou, when thou fastest..." Oh, by the way, did you pick up those few words right there? "But thou, when thou fastest..." Is that a question whether they're going to fast or not? No, it's not. It's not a question. He says, "When you fast." And so, therefore, it's to be a part of the normal life of a believer. And when you fast. It doesn't say how often. It doesn't say once a week, once a month. It may be only at the time of the national crisis. But he says, "When you fast, let this be a part of your life." And he says, "And when thou fastest, anoint thine head." I like that. Some of us, it don't take us quite as much, does it, Paul? Some of us, we just wipe it down and say, "Praise the Lord," and keep moving. But for others, they need comb your hair. That's what he's talking about. Brush your hair. Don't go outside looking like you just got up out of bed, making people think. Comb your hair. Wash your face. And when you face the day, nobody knows that you, God, are having a time. You're going through that day. "That thou appear unto man," he says, "but when thou fastest, anoint thy head and wash thy face, that thou appear not unto man to fast, but unto thy Father which is in secret. And the Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly." You see, it's something very, very personal. History provides a clear look into men seeking the Father's help. The meaning of fasting lies in the disciplining of the body for the purpose of seeking the Father with Spirit-yielding rewards. The method of fasting is going without food and sometimes water for a period of time with an express purpose of seeking help from the Father. The motive of fasting lies in unlocking of many of the blessings of the Father. And the manner of fasting lies in a private, sincere seeking the Father. Lifestyle and motives play an important part in seeking the Father for help. Prayer and fasting unite together to be an unstoppable force in dealing with crisis and experiencing personal relationship with the Father, the Son, and with the Holy Spirit. Father, today, O Lord, our minds have been refreshed. Lord, it's been right here all the time. I pray, God, that you will open up our minds so that we have knowledge with experience, that we will sincerely seek the face of the Father, sincerely seek Him, knowing that God will answer and He will give you. Now, Father, help us to take these words, let them go over in our mind and in our heart, become a part of our life. In Jesus' name. This morning, as we look at the text, it's amazing. But you remember where it all started back? Remember way over here it kind of started to this man that was poor in spirit? That's where it all starts. You want to have power with God, it starts with a relationship with Jesus Christ. And so the question this morning is, do you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ? If not, I'd encourage you to come and say, "Brother Robert, I'd like to give my life to Jesus Christ this morning." The prayer altars are going to be open. I've exposed some territory for many of us this morning We've not read about or thought about it quite a while. And for some of us, this is going to be life-changing. I am excited about what the Father's going to do. Let's stand together and sing.